All right, I am joined with Figa. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you, Puti?
I'm well, thanks. Please introduce yourself and what you do.
Okay, my name is Figa Mahleza. I'm an industrial engineer at an automotive company, and I'm currently furthering my studies in industrial and systems engineering at UNISA. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, acquired my national diploma at CPUT. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And industrial engineering, where did the love for industrial engineering start?
Okay, so firstly, as I was going to high school from junior, I kind of knew that I want to go towards the path of science, you know, physics and all that stuff. So after that, I did choose the subjects for that, which is maths and physics, because I also loved mathematics. So as I went to high school in Gauteng, what they did in our grade 10 was that they took us to a career exhibition, which was in Wits, right? So I always thought I was going to be a doctor, but then the thought of seeing blood and all that would always frighten me at some point. So after that, when we got to Wits at a career exhibition, there was this lady who was Gidiemetsi Mathibe. Gidiemetsi was doing industrial engineering at her second year at UJ. So as we were walking around and then trying to find information on every course, you know, available in this sector of maths and physics, I came across Gidiemetsi, and then she was explaining to me what industrial engineering is, and I was like, no, this actually aligns well with my personal traits. So that's how I started falling in love with it. And then when I got home immediately that day, I just went through to find out what it's all about. What do these people called industrial engineers do after their studies? So yeah. That
awesome. And then you start doing it after applying. And what was like a shock that you found, or was there any shock? You just flowed with the moment you start studying it.
Being honest with you, I did not start straight away after my high school with industrial engineering, right? So what happened was that I passed well in my matric, and then I got a bursary because I was on the top 10 of the school. But then the bursary now was not funding industrial engineering.
I see.
So I had to choose on those three courses. So I literally took chemical engineering. And then I went on with doing chemical engineering. First year, I was failing. Second year, I was failing. And people were literally like, why don't you just accept that you don't have this engineering within you? You know, just go and do business courses and all that stuff. Right. So it was literally after 2 years that I changed to do industrial engineering. Yeah.
I'm sure that was hectic. So how did you deal with that?
I would find things that I enjoy the most to do. So I'll be honest with you, I literally kind of stopped studying. I was staying at rest. I was not really doing anything, but I was there because I was having accommodation. And at the same time, I became a model. I would go out to my castings, you know, stuff like that. Things that kept me alive at that point, because really, I could not deal with the fact that I would go to class and no one wants to be associated with me because I'm failing, right?
Okay.
I lost a lot of friends, literally support from some of my family members. But one thing that kept me going is that at least I can do something. Like there's something that people know me for, right? Because my, I would call it career, my modeling career was quite going well, right? So yeah, that's what kept me going.
Awesome. Actually, so many things to unpack there, modeling and studying. But let me just maybe focus on industrial, right?
Yeah.
So you finally get an opportunity to do industrial engineering. How did that feel for you?
Yeah, it kind of felt good, but at the same time, I was kind of like, okay, this is the opportunity for myself now to prove to these people that, you know what, in fact, I know what I want.
And I mean, you're and a brilliant I know what student I, as well.
Yes. Coming from high school. Because they kind of believe that, oh, man, it's not it. Why can't you just accept that? But what I've realized is that what's important is finding what you are passionate about in, like, career-wise. So, yeah, it was really an opportunity for me to prove to myself, not only to myself, but to my family and to the people around that I can actually do this and I know what I want. Okay. Because it felt like I don't know what I want anymore. Yeah.
So there was no shock when you started studying it. You just enjoyed it up until you graduated.
Yeah. I kind of believe that there is nothing that... Okay, in terms of courses, there's no such a thing that there's no course. There are courses that are not challenging. At some point in time, you do find challenges. But one thing that just literally took me out was the fact that, okay, I have to do accounting. Like, what does engineering have to do with accounting? Sure. It didn't make sense to me. And then there are some other things that you have to do, supply chain and all that. I was like, nope. KDM, it's never told me about this. Because what I knew was, okay, you'll do improvements. It's like... industrial engineering is quite close to management, so you'll be taking decisions and all that. I didn't really know that you have to go through that path, literally.
And then you graduated. Can you please just advise someone who's listening, what are the things that you were doing in order to make sure that you graduate, and if they can just benefit from that?
Okay, sorry, pardon. I don't think
Can you please just share the things that you were doing? Because, you're a graduate. The things that you were doing to make sure that you graduate.
Okay.
So you can just help someone who's going to be studying industrial engineering.
Sure. Firstly, it's like a lot of pressure. So you will have to make sure that you study hard, make sure that each assignment you pass it. Because the minute you say, okay, I'm going to do better in my final exam or whatever, then it will be late. You know, straight away when they say, the schools are opening, that's when you have to start focusing, right? Even if you are writing exams in June or whatever, that's when you would have to start focusing, because most things you do, they come towards your final mark. Yeah. Sure. So that's very important.
So during your varsity years, were you doing both modeling and studying?
Okay, firstly, when I was doing chemical engineering, chemical engineering, I was doing modeling as well. But then I literally had to stop because, okay, I'll be honest, right? For me to move over to industrial was because I kind of felt like I'm getting late. And secondly, I was pregnant, right? So it's more like my mom was also disappointed that, okay, she came to Cape Town and then that's it. She's just there to have fun, right? So I was like, yeah, I have to prove to my mom that I can do this, and I want to make it up to her, you know, that I make sure that I pass, right? So, I went a bit further. I'm not sure. Yeah, so that's how it happened, me moving over to industrial. Okay.
Industrial.
Yeah.
Sure. It sounds like it's a... I feel like your experience could be sort of helpful to others who are listening. Getting pregnant on campus when you're studying, how did you deal with that? And then how did you come out on the other side?
Okay. So what helped me the most is the fact that I moved over from Cape Town to Bellville campus, which was more of I'm starting over my life, where people don't know me. They'll just find me as this pregnant person. They don't know my history. They don't know my background.
Sure.
So no one will have to ask me anything, right? So that's what actually assisted me at that point. And it's honestly not easy being pregnant, and at the same time, you have to study that's so not easy, because at this side you have to deal with your moods. At the same time, you don't want to study, you want to sleep, you fall sick all the time, you go to the doctor, you have to do this. You know, I kind of also had complications in my pregnancy.
Sure.
But yeah, what's most important is, I can say, prayer, you know, praying about things and asking to God for strength. That's what kept me going at that point. Mm. Yeah.
I think thank you so much for sharing that. I think it would be sort of a learning curve for others that it's not an easy thing to sort of manage school and being preparing to be a mother as well. And at the end of the day, you actually graduated, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so you graduated and starting work,
yes,
right? You did in-service training as well. Mm. So how was that transition from studying to working, and what were the things that you learned in your in-service training?
Okay, so it wasn't, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't really easy, because as industrial engineers, okay, maybe in some other courses as well, but you are expected now to take what you've learned and apply it,
sure,
right? Which is, it cannot be easy when you don't have a supportive manager.
Mm-hmm.
It really cannot be easy, because at that point in time, you require guidance, right? Of which, yes, I did get the guidance, but I felt like there were ways where we could have improved that. Yeah, but what's important at that point is to now know that, okay, I will have to take what I know and then see how do I merge it into what to this work integrated thing.
Sure.
So, yeah, that is it.
Okay. So I'm thinking you're a seasoned industrial engineer, right?
Yeah.
Can you please just explain what industrial engineering is, so that at least someone who's listening to this can have an idea of what industrial engineering is?
Okay. So industrial engineering is involved with improvements, you know. Generally in every industry, what an industrial engineer does is to look at problems. It's very important to find problems as an industrial engineer, because if you don't find them, you wouldn't be able to do what to do your work.
Mm.
Because now that's where, at my perspective, is you will have to look at problems and say these are the opportunities for improvement.
Mm.
Right. So that means if you come with a problem, I must not focus on the problem, but I must be thinking on the background that, oh no, he says this and he says that. So what could be the possible solution to that?
Mm.
So basically you are finding the solutions. You are making sure that whatever that does not work, you find a way to make it productive, efficient, and effectively. And yes, that is it. Okay. I think so.
Awesome. So now you're working in the automotive industry, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Please explain what you do on a daily.
Yeah, on a daily basis. Okay, so firstly, I look at the plan, right? Because that's another thing. You wouldn't know how you can improve now the profitability of the company if you don't look at the plan. So I look at the planning of the operations, I look at the capacity, how can we now ensure that the customer is receiving, or we exceed the customer's expectation,
sure,
when it comes to the requirements. Because the customer would say, okay, I require 50,000 of this much of parts or whatever. And then I would have to look at the plan now and say, okay, with the manning, which is people that work, with the machine, with the time, how do we now ensure that we reach the 50,000 on a weekly basis or something? And then secondly, what I do is to improve the productions in general. So improving the production is, okay, now that we've planned, right, we are running the operations, what is it that is not making us to reach the customer's requirement? I need to look at that. Mm. I need to look at standards. Standards is how fast do you run this? If you don't run at the rate that you are supposed to run, what are the reasons that you're not running at that rate? Mm. You know, also I have to look at the system in general, the capturing system. How do we now make sure that the data that we have of these operations running is kept into the system? Right. Those are the things I look at, because it's very important for you to have data if you are a decision maker. Industrial engineers are decision makers. Sure. So it's very important for you to have data. You must be able to look on the background and say, okay, historically, this is what was happening. And then this is how we can improve it. You know, that also assists in maybe you're experiencing a lot of problems. Now you don't know what to deal with. But at some point, you'll be able to look at the data and say, I've been dealing with this problem for the past 3 years, right? Okay, that means this is the problem I need to focus on, sure. You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of data, what skills do you need in order to sort of improve your engineering or experience? What sort of skills do you need in order to improve your engineering skills?
Okay. I'll speak specifically about industrial engineering.
Yes.
It's very important to, firstly, when you look, just as I said before, you must look from an industrial engineer's perspective.
Sorry to cut you. Maybe just to add on top of the skills is also maybe add tools that you guys use to, in order to do your work. I think maybe it might help someone who's going to enter so that they know, okay these are the some of the tools.
You need
that,
to look at.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry for that.
Okay. Firstly, as an industrial engineer, you are trained to look for problems. Mm. That is when you are washing dishes at home. I'll make a general example. I didn't find it a problem before, but when you are washing dishes at home, I must look at the process of which you are washing dishes. I must be able to tell you that you've washed that dish for too long, you know. I must be able to look at those things, right? You must be able to find waste, right? I must be able to say, okay, this month, it usually takes me 30 days maybe to finish the millimil 2 kg. Mm. And then now it took me 3 days. What is the waste? Okay, in terms of operations now, that's how you look at things. Okay, now this became wasteful. How? Mm. We could not finish the build that was required by the customer. How? Right? Mm. And then we are trained on techniques on how to deal with those things, with waste. Lean manufacturing, Six Sigma. Mm. So those are the things that we are trained to look at. We are trained the techniques, right? Mm. Which we are trained on. And qualitative techniques. What is this? Quality assurance. Now, quality assurance tells you this is the customer's expectation. And then what is it that you have to make sure that the quality of what you do aligns well with the customer's expectations when it comes to quality of their product. Yeah, so that is it. And yeah, qualitative techniques is basically teaching you on these things of data. Mm. But most importantly now, another thing is that as time goes in industrial engineering, you have two paths. You have to decide if you are a quality engineer or industrial engineering. Because, okay, another thing, industrial engineering is very broad, right? So if you take the quality engineering path, you stick to that. You are a quality engineer. But if you take now the industrial engineering path, you can be a production manager, you can be a process engineer, you can be a production engineer, you can be a planner, you know, most of the things, a supply chain whatsoever.
Yes, because you guys sort of, you work around about the layout, how it should go.
Yes, things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is it. That's why I kind of did not really want to, when I was furthering my studies, I kind of did not really want to go further with quality engineering. Mm. I wanted to stick to industrial engineering because opportunities are very broad in industrial engineering.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then please give examples of the projects that you worked on that you enjoyed the most and the one that you least enjoyed the most. And what did you learn the most from both of them?
Yeah. Okay. So I enjoyed Kaizen projects. I enjoyed the mic projects. Those are part of the techniques that you are taught on,
okay,
on how to deal with the problem, right? So I enjoyed Kaizen problems. It's like now on a Kaizen problem, you literally specify, but we tell the customer, right, that, okay, I'll be running your parts, but then these parts, I'll be running them at this standard time. The standard time is the time it takes for that whole operation, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you are running more than the set standard time, now you will have to deal with that because the customer is going to say when it's paying the money, it's going to say, I'm paying you for this much because you are running at this rate, mm-hmm, right? Then now you will have to deal with that and say, okay, what is it now that I have to do in order to make sure that I reduce the standard time, right? It could be 21. And then if you quoted on the CER, right, that I'll be running your products at 10 minutes. Now you have to deal with how do I take it now from 21 to 10 minutes, mm, which is not a thing of a month or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the projects I've been dealing with. Mm. And then there you'll find that you'll find a lot of wasteful activities that people do when they operate. Not only people, wasteful activities on the operations. It's things that don't people take into consideration. And also I wouldn't have if I was not an industrial engineer.
Sure.
But since now you are trained to look.
To see them.
Yes, sure, sure. Yes. Mm. So that is it. And secondly, what is very challenging for me is we have a system that captures data live, right? Okay. And then now on some operations, we don't have that system. Now I had to come with my own system that manual will work, right?
Oh, sure.
Yes, because okay, manual is also money,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You have to find a data capture. You're going to pay that data capture for 8 hours, mm, right? So now I had to find a system that will say, okay, we already have a person that captures, right? But that person does not capture for that, what can I say? She does not capture for that purpose. Mm-hmm. She captures for something else.
For different, something different. Yes. Sure.
And then now what I had to do was to say, okay, how can we now look at the starter that this person captures and try to transform it into what we want or into what will be readable and into what will make us to be able to look at the operations and say, okay, this is, or generally look at the performance of the operations. So that was kind of very challenging because, well, I was not trained on that part. I'm not really sure on how to create a system. I was not really sure. So I had to look at the, how can I make now that process automatic, mm, so that no one captures, mm, you just look at it. Yeah. So that was kind of challenging. Yeah.
Okay. And then how does growth look like for an industrial engineer? You become an industrial engineer. How does it growth look like? Or does it depend on the company and what kind of structures that they have to grow?
Yes, I think so. It also depends on your, what is this, on the industry you're in. Mm-hmm. It also depends on that. But most importantly, you grow as an industrial engineer when you get to be confident in yourself, that is confident in what you do, mm, and also being able to take decisions without anyone. I mean, mm, that's how you grow as an industrial engineer. And that's how you also feel that you're growing because now you can, I can literally take decisions for my manager when he's not there,
mm,
based on operations. I can tell people, hey, this is what we need to do now. This is how we need to plan those operations, you know, things like that. Mm. That means at some point in time, you can also be a manager, mm, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
In light of maybe growing and trying different stuff, I know you've shared with my wife.
Yes.
Your incident, right? Yeah. Because I mean, yeah, what we're doing is we're trying to grow ourselves, yeah, and try new things.
Mm.
But in doing that, for you, you bent your fingers. And please, just give light to someone who's listening. Maybe your story.
Yes.
So that, because the thing is, I don't want to say it as I know it, but I just want you to just say it from your side. Yes.
So what happened was that I felt like, hey, I've been in this industry for quite some time, right? Maybe I need to divert and move into something, or maybe get a feel of a different environment, you know, stuff like that. Because, yeah, that was it. After that, I applied, right? When I applied, I was applying on Indeed, which is the platform that people use for applying, right? I applied on Indeed. After I applied on Indeed, I was called, I think it was after 2 or 3 weeks. I'm also praying about the job, right? I'm like, God, I know this is the time, this is the opportunity. You know, the money is good, and I can see that, okay, I can move from where I am and from what I know to something else, even based on my skills, right? So, yeah, I applied on Indeed. After 2 weeks, I was called by this person. So this person is asking, hey, so did the manager call you? I'm like, no, no one has called me yet from your company. Then he was like, okay, cool. And then I started searching about the company because now things are promising, right? I searched about the company. I went to LinkedIn. When you get to LinkedIn, those people are there, the HR and all that stuff. You know, we use LinkedIn for doing it. Yes, it's a professional platform, you know, for professionals. When you go to LinkedIn, those people are there. You know, the managers, they have a lot of followers. And then when you go to the websites, because we always say, yeah, just to confirm, go to Google and check if it's true or whatever. I did that. I went to go to Google, searched the company. Ah, the company is there, most. The company exists, right?
Yeah.
Basically, it exists. Even when you call them, they have a landline.
Sure.
When you call them, it starts at the reception, just like the serious companies.
Sure.
It starts at the reception, and then let me send you through to the HR.
Sure.
I'm very confident that, you know what, I'm getting this job.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I was kind of skeptical, right? I don't know why.
So you sort of felt it that there was something wrong.
But I also tried my mind. In my mind, I tried convincing myself that, what if this could be the opportunity you were waiting for?
Yeah.
And then now at this time, maybe the devil is trying to convince you otherwise that, no, you can't take that because,
sure.
You know? Even though I was praying about things, I did feel that, I'm not sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So, after that, I was called again. Then this person says, you know what, the person who got the job failed the medical test. Now, we don't have the person to fill in this position, right? So that's the reason why I'm calling you, because this position was supposed to be filled a long time ago, right? Because I was praying about things, right? I was so sure.
And you're thinking this is favor now.
Yes, you know, favor.
The doors are open.
It's what I've been waiting for.
Sure.
Yeah, fine. So the person says that, and after that, he was asking me when would I be able to start and stuff like that. Then he sent me the form, right, for me to fill in. It's what is the form? Yeah, offer of employment.
Okay.
And I'm filling in the offer
contract,
of employment. Yes. I'm filling in the offer of employment. Yes, I'm ready to relocate because I've been wanting to leave Cape Town. It's been so many years.
Sure.
Yeah, I filled in the offer of employment. And then after that, I resigned. I resigned because, I'm ready.
You're about to leave, yeah?
June. I know. I resigned. Then fine. After some time, fun part is that I could not stop praying about this. And I was praying on a scripture that says, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. That is in Genesis 50 verse 20.
Sure.
So I was praying about that on that scripture. I'm not sure how did I, why do, am I was praying on that one. But yeah, I kept on praying on that scripture. And then after that, yeah, I felt like, yeah, maybe I should also fast on this, right? Because now I'm about to make a big decision. I'm about to move into a different place. I must really start praying about things, right? Yeah, I kept on praying and then I started fasting. Then on this time, at this other time when I was fasting, at 12 o'clock, I'm usually praying. So as I was worshiping and praying at the same time, I just went to my phone, which is something I don't usually do. I don't go to my phone when I pray. I just went to my phone. When I opened, I went to Facebook. I searched this company on Facebook before, right? And I found it there. Now, when I'm searching on Facebook, the original company created a profile, a page. And then they were talking about these scammers, right? That are faking their company. So that's how I found out.
Okay.
3 days before I could say I'm leaving
Cape Town. You're traveling, yeah, sure.
3 days before. So, yeah, that's what happened. Then the following day, I had to wake up and go to work. I was like, yeah, when I called my mom, I said, yo, you know what? No, I'm leaving. There's no way I can turn back from this. Maybe that's the end of my career. Maybe I have to go to Shoprite, you know, look for work. Then I decided, no, man, let me go to work, ne? And let me tell my manager about this. I went to work. Then when I got to work, I didn't even start at my office. I went straight to my manager's office. And then I sat down and I told him, you know what? Yeah, the job was a scam, Gebut, right? And then at the same time, my manager just told me that, okay, you know what, just sit down, relax. I'm going to retract the whole resignation process, right? Because what he was saying is that he was concerned about the fact that he will have to start over looking for someone else. For someone new,
yeah, sure.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was it. But I was really appreciative of the fact that I found favor even on that part.
Sure.
Because imagine if it was another company, they would say, Sissy,
yeah,
there's nothing we can do.
Sure.
Yeah, you literally took yourself out of a job, right? So yeah, I was really favored on that one. I got my job back just like that.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
And they're very supportive in the whole thing. They literally said to me, I can take some time out, you know, until I feel good, then I start working. So yeah.
And this sounds like it's not just a scam, it's probably trafficking involved as well. Because I mean, like, if you're now going to be moving and working in a company, the next thing we don't know where you are and it becomes hectic.
So after now, I found out that it was a scam and then I got my job back.
Yeah.
Now I'm calling that person. I was supposed to start there on Monday, on the following Monday. So I'm calling that person and I'm like, hey, so I won't be able to start on Monday, right? I'm delaying. Because remember, this is a big thing. I still have to pick my stuff and everything.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So can you give me some time? The person started asking for money. So that plans, or that means originally they planned on something that I didn't know.
Sure.
I don't know what would have happened to me when I get there. Right? Exactly. Yeah. So.
So they started asking for money for you to, for what?
For drink. Yes. Now that I'm delaying on moving to that side, they're asking for drink. Okay. So the manager was going to talk to you when you get here, Bana, can you please maybe a drink, because Galogo, you got the, it's more like you got the job for free because you didn't even go through the interview. So that's what he was saying.
Sure. So maybe What are the red flags that you overlooked, and what is it that you learned from this experience?
Yeah. The red flags part, being honest, I'm still not sure of how I'd have figured out that it was a scam.
Yeah.
Because we apply on Indeed.
Yeah.
We also have the profiles of LinkedIn and all that. But what I can say I've learned is rather look for an agency. There are a lot of employment agencies sure. out there. And those people are trained on what to look at, you know, things like that. So I think that is it. It's apply through an agency. Don't apply on your own. Rather pay money to an agency to apply for you. And also, don't resign before you start. You actually sure. started the new company.
Sure.
Rather resign while you're sitting there and already in another company.
Mm, mm.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. The idea is to try to encourage each and everyone who's working to just do their due diligence when looking for a company.
Yes.
And especially for ladies and looking at trafficking and all those other stuff, scamming. It can literally just go south without even seeing what's coming your way. So thank you so much for sharing that. In closing, I want you to look into your career and what has been a recurring theme, and how has it helped you grow in your career?
What can I say? Okay, I could say the fact that you are dealing with the problems most of the times. So that is, on my side, it required me to always be a critical thinker, right? That is, every day when I wake up, I have to prepare myself for dealing with things. What could be the worst case scenarios and things like that. So I think so. I think that is it for me. So, yeah.
Okay.
And then that's what actually assisted me in terms of growth, that you now look at things from the perspective of being an overthinker and say, okay, what could be the countermeasure to this? Or how can we deal with this before it could even happen?
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming through. It was really nice having you and sharing your experiences as an industrial engineer and encouraging others who are listening as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.